Welcome in the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braden. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who's a Fine Bomb star now. And he also goes by Big Orange Balls on Twitter. What's up, yo, Tissy Ober?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man. Oh, I don't even know where to begin, Shane. You're a nationally televised star now.
Yeah. Tennessee. Kind of a big deal, Mike. Kind of a big deal.
Tennessee shit the bed in the SEC tournament. We were down there. Lot going on, brother. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Obviously, it would have been nice to see a nice weekend of Tennessee / Kentucky or, you know, one of those teams. But it happened the way it is. So congratulations, Auburn, for winning the tournament. And today is Selection Sunday, and I hope everybody got in that needed to get in. And I hope you're in the bracket you wanted to get in. And this is the year that you get it right, you know?
Yeah, so we're going to break that down, Shade, just, you know, quickly here, briefly. Not a basketball show, but it's a big deal, obviously. So everybody on the bubble that got in, we're going to have a full breakdown of that, who they're playing and all that. And believe it or not, Shade, this may have totally – You may have totally overlooked this one, as I'm sure many did, because it was a busy basketball weekend and we were traveling and whatnot. But we had a spring game all Saturday, so I'm going to break that down. I've watched that now. And how about it, Shane? But I think most people, all they really want to talk about is Cousin Shane on the Paul Feinbaum show. So I'm going to kick it to you in just a second. But before we get to that, just special shout out at the top here, Shane. Maybe our biggest fan, it was kind of the highlight of my Nashville trip, was meeting Cousin Ollie there. Came down from Kentucky, came down to the bar, and, you know, got to hang out with him and some of his friends. So that was kind of the highlight for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because it felt like I knew him, you know?
Yeah.
Taller than I thought he'd be. But it's just funny because we ran into so many great people, fans of the show and everything. You know, we were over there at the stadium, which most people were there to watch the game and stuff, so I get that. But we absolutely had a blast, had some cold beers, and it was good to see Ollie. You know, he's been sending me these bourbon bottles, so I was talking to him, my wife, was actually with me, and she got on to him a little bit because he hasn't been sending candy corn, you know, and for longtime listeners, the first one he ever sent, my wife, you know, she, and I'll just give you a quick backstory, Mike, even though, you know, hell, it's the off season, we got time. So my wife has realized that she's got to be careful what sweets she has around the house. So obviously, because she lives with a fat husband that likes sweets, you know, but there are a few I don't like, and that's why my wife likes candy corn. That's why my wife likes mini marshmallows, and that's why my wife likes chocolate-covered cherries, because she knows those are safe at the house. Now, she'll claim she's been a fan of those her whole life, but I know her real game, Mike. So I appreciate Ollie driving all the way down to hang out with us, drink cold beers, and unfortunately, you know, they didn't get to extend the weekend, but brother, the big tournament's coming up right now. This is the one that we're waiting on.
Right, so tell us about this was a huge event for you, Shane. Nobody even cares. I was on Paul Feinbaum. It was all about Cousin Shane. That's all I cared about, too. But, did you ever think it was going to happen? How nervous were you? You were pacing. You called him Mike about six times. He kept you quite a while there.
Well, it's funny because we had a game plan coming into this thing. So, obviously, I knew I was going to be on the show coming in, and Mike, I was like, well, you know, I got Mike, you know, he's right here. So if I get in a little pinch or I don't know what to say, I can always look over and there's my safety net, you know. So we're walking over to Bridgestone.
May I stop you real quick, Shane? I mean, it went, he's not even kidding, folks. He was working with me signals if he got stuck, if he couldn't. He was going to wipe and like I was going to stare at him while I'm talking to Paul and on TV, I'm just going to look at Shane waiting for these signals. But that was his game plan. And then we found out I would not be on set with Shane. I was feet away, but I was not on at the same time. That was a curveball thrown at us.
Yeah, it's like taking your kid's blankie, you know, or his like favorite toy, you know. You told me at the steps, you're like, oh, by the way, I've got some bad news. And I was like, what do you mean? You're not going to be up there. We could surely put in another chair or something. But yeah, I got a little nervous and I was sitting there and I'm watching all these, you know, just greats, man. I mean, we got to see the lead singer, Sawyer Brown, and Josh Pate was up there and just some true legends walking around. And you're like, what the hell am I doing on Paul Feinbaum? I can't believe it. You know, I made the joke that my mom was afraid that one day she'd see me on TV, you know, but it wasn't to be on Paul Feinbaum, you know, probably in handcuffs or something. But I'm sitting there and I get nervous. So I'm sitting and all of a sudden I was like, dude, I feel like I'm about to pass out for some reason, Mike. So I look at my watch and my heart rate's like at 118. I'm like, dude, you better calm down. And anybody that's watched it, you know, has realized my face is beet red. I'm sweating my ass off because I don't know what Paul's going to say. But all in all, man, he sent me some softballs, lobbed them up for me, made it pretty easy. And the trial run, because that's basically what the way I understood this was this was a trial run to make sure I don't say any bad words or do anything that gets them in trouble. But since I passed phase one, so hopefully I can get back on there again.
So if they ask you again, like at SEC Media Days or something like that, would you be – because previously I said, hey, I could probably get you on there. You said, hell yeah. No, every time.
Hell no.
If they ask you again, would you do it?
Yeah, I'll do it because, again, after you've done it, you know, it's one right thing. It's like jumping off a high dive, you know. That first one, a little bit of a doozy. But after you've done it, you've kind of get acclimated with it and you realize – you know, they can't eat you. So that's one of the things I enjoyed. And like I said, the fans, I appreciate everybody because they felt, you know, this podcast started out with two of us and like four listeners, you know, and this thing has really grown. And I appreciate everybody reaching out. It's like their baby made it, you know, it's like their kids finally moving out of the house or something like that. It's what I felt like. And everybody reached out with the kind words and, my family, I've got family reaching out. It's like, dude, we've been doing a podcast for 6 years, you know. I don't need to get on Paul Feinbaum to let you know the show's pretty successful at this point. But it all makes sense now. It's like I put a big roast bow on it. So I appreciate, again, all the kind words and everybody that said they enjoyed it. And if you missed it, you know, you can always jump on our YouTube. And I'll say this, Mike. I hate that I kind of stole the thunder there, but that was by far your best Feinbaum experience. I listened to yours and I was like, damn, Mike was on it. And I hated that this kind of overshadowed a little bit. But if you haven't seen Mike's, be sure to jump on our YouTube channel and check it out as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I thought yours was way – yours, it was the star of the show, the debut of Cousin Shade. So I appreciate those kind words. But also what a tease – I can talk about these now because we filmed. We got it all in the recording. It's going to take a while to edit these up. I'm going to spend a lot of time editing these, Shane, making them as good as I can. And quite frankly, I'm waiting for the end. I want the basketball tournament because it sucks up so much oxygen. I'm waiting for the NCAA March Madness tournament to end, and then we'll start putting out these interviews. But we had a very successful week in Nashville. We got Paul Feinbaum in studio.
Yeah.
With a hour-long roast of Cousin Shane. That was fantastic. We got Peter Burns, SEC Network, first time on the show. We got him in studio. Billy Lucci went over an hour with us. Very, very kind with his time. Great interview there.
Yeah.
And then the rest of these, Shane didn't wake up in time to make them. But we had our buddy Ty Richardson, ESPN, Arkansas, hit that line. Another great one. We had Neil McCready, Rebel Grove. Fantastic conversation with Neil. And then Stefan Kreisnik from the Clarion Leisure covers Mississippi. So we got the full Egg Bowl, Shane. We got Ole Miss. We got Mississippi State. Then we got Arkansas, A&M. Peter Burns, Paul Feinbaum. So be on the lookout on the YouTube channel. Like I said, I'm going to spend a lot of time editing these. I'm going to try to make them the best videos we've ever produced. So just be on the lookout. And it won't be a surprise or anything. I'll tease these out. They're going to be broadcast all over social media before they come out. But some really good stuff. And it was fantastic to have Shane in the studio with me. We were kind of going back and forth with the guests. So kind of a unique trio of an interview here. You know what?
Dude, I was so amped, man. I appreciate everybody taking their time to come out. You know, it wasn't that far off of Broadway, but it was off Broadway. So they were able to come down It gave us some great stuff. So you're going to enjoy every single interview that we put out here. It was awesome. I had to pinch myself, man. There's sometimes I'm sitting, I'm watching, I was like, I can't believe damn, Paul Feinbaum is sitting right here, and security ain't dragging my ass off, you know? Peter Burns is right here. Billy Lucci behind the scenes with Tex Ags. I mean, oh, man, it was so nice. And again, if you're not on the YouTube, be sure to hit the subscribe button, turn those notifications on, because Mike's going to surprise you. One morning you're going to wake up and you're going to get one of these interviews. So just be on alert, and, again, appreciate everybody's time.
Yeah, when Paul saw you sitting on the couch here, I thought he was going to turn around and leave after after your appearance on his show. You know what?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a bucket list, seeing Shane 2 days in a row, wasn't it?
Well, how about this? We got a voicemail, Shane. You haven't even heard this yet, from cousin Justin. He saw your fine bomb. He said, heck, I got to call into the hotline, give you some props. So let's kick it over to cousin Justin.
Fellas, cousin Justin here. Hope y'all doing well. Finally found that interview that cousin Shane did with Feinbaum. Great job. I think one of the comments that got overlooked was that they were upset that Vandy was not on their schedule. So I'm looking forward to seeing the Gators miss another bowl season. And just wanted to tell you, great job, Professor Shane, on there with Feinbaum, on your own. Proud of you guys. And this is my first time calling, long-time listener, though, and glad to be a part of the Cousins. Go Dawgs.
Yeah. You're legitimate now, Shane, now that you've been on fire, Bob. You know what?
Yeah, I've got the seal of approval there. So I will say this, because I had a lot of Gator fans reach out. You know, they realize what I'm saying. You know, the Florida Gators used to be the team. And right. In the 90s, the 2000s, Paul even mentioned it there. So me being hard on Florida, I wasn't hard on Florida. I'm hard on Billy Napier. I'm hard on what they've done in 3 years and what they're anticipating they'll do this season. Now, can they surprise us? Absolutely. Can make a run. But, you know, Florida Gators, they deserve better. And everyone else in the SEC, even cousin here, you know, we like them being down, though, you know, because we realize that when the Florida Gators are good, you know, it's another tough week on your schedule and probably another loss. So we're enjoying it. We're doing our victory laps right now, but we're just trying to keep them down while we can.
Yeah, they'll be back before you know it. And, hey, could be this season. Who knows, Shane? Could be the surprise team in the SEC. But, hey, like I said, it's basketball time. So real quick, just want to break this down in case you missed it. The selection committee announced the entire bracket just right before we popped on. So I want to run down these real quick, Shane. And a lot of SEC teams, like I said, everybody that was basically on the bubble in the SEC, teams that did well, that were needing wins, they got them in the SEC tournament. And, of course, the top three seeds got eliminated right away. So that was part of it. But out of the East region, Shay, the SEC tournament champions, the Auburn Tigers, they got the 4 seed. They're going to be playing the number 12 seed, Yale, in Spokane in the East regional. Only SEC team in the East regional, but not the only SEC team in Spokane. Because how about it, Shay? Alabama, the 4 seed in the West, they're going to be playing in Spokane, too. So Alabama, Auburn, they may as well just split the airfare and travel to Spokane together. But Alabama's going to be playing Charleston. So that's going to be in the West Regional. Number 4, Alabama. Number 13, Charleston. And then also we got the 8 seed, Mississippi State, who got hot, beat Tennessee, beat the number 1 seed, Tennessee, in the tournament. Mm-hmm. So they kind of punched their ticket here to face number 9 seed, Michigan State, in Charlotte. These are going to be some good games here, Shade. You know what?
Yeah, right down the street here, man. That's what I love about it. Mississippi State, you know, that was a tough one, but I was glad. They really needed it. They needed that win. So I'm just glad they're in it. You never know what's going to happen. You have to get in the tournament to win the tournament.
Right, and Greg Sankey, one of the points he was making, Shade, we've seen a lot of these Final Four runs be completely unexpected, like South Carolina. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, the SEC so deep that, you know, in years past, only 3, 4, maybe 5 teams made it. We got, I believe, 8 teams here in the NCAA tournament. So you better believe at least one of these SEC teams, Shay, is going to make a deep run to the Final Four and maybe even beyond. And one team that a lot of people had, Shade, as a possible SEC tournament champ, one that'll make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. They got the seeding to where they could make a run now. And I'm talking Kentucky, number 3 seed out of the South. They're going to be playing number 14, Oakland. That game is in Pittsburgh, Shade. But how about it? This is one thing I don't get, and maybe because I don't follow it closely enough, but Kentucky got the 3 seed, right?
Yeah.
Auburn got the 4. Auburn just won the SEC tournament. So it's like, what the hell are we doing here? It's like they don't even give you credit for winning the SEC. That makes no sense to me. How about red-hot Florida Gators?
He'd rather be home petting his dogs. Ain't that what he said? You know,
Well, that's true. Calipari petting his dogs all the way to the 3 seed. But this is a good seeding for Kentucky, I really do think. Yeah. Number 7 seed, red-hot Florida Gators, Shane. They're going to play the winner of Boise State, Colorado on Wednesday. That game will be in Indianapolis. Florida's a team to watch as well as they're playing. They just went all the way to the SEC championship, lost to Auburn. And then the other bubble team, Shane, number 9 seed, Texas A&M versus number 8, Nebraska in Memphis. And as a lot of people pointed out, Shane, right when this was announced, this is kind of hilarious, because Texas A&M just stole away Nebraska's AD, Trev Alberts, who played at Nebraska, who was doing well at Nebraska. Now A&M stole him away, and they're going to face each other in the NCAA tournament. Whoever wins that game should be able to get to keep Trev Alberts.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of people are going to be watching it too, brother, because they're both picking up media attention at the right time.
Yep. And then this one's for you, buddy. Midwest region. I know you're going to like this. Number 2 seed, Tennessee.
Yeah.
But you may not like this, Shane. Number 15 seed, St. Peter's, the team that beat Kentucky, was a national darling. This game's in Charlotte. But I think at least now that we've seen St. Peter's can make a run like this, maybe Tennessee doesn't take him so lightly. You know what?
Yeah. No, yeah. We've just been playing with our food here, man. So, yeah, St. Peter ain't even – they don't even know what we got. So, we've been holding back. So, we're going to start hitting some foul shots, you know?
How bad are you going to be if Tennessee blows it again and loses the opening round game?
Don't put that evil on me, Mike. Don't put that evil on me. I saw Texas down there, you know? I was like, golly.
Yeah, Texas is in the Midwest as well. But first, South Carolina, Shane. They got the 6th seed against number 11 seed Oregon. That game's in Pittsburgh. And you reference it. I'll throw – Texas in here. Number 7 seed, Texas. They'll face the winner of Virginia, Colorado State, which is on Tuesday. And that game is in Charlotte as well. So like I was saying, this is completely loaded, Shane.
Yeah.
With SEC teams in the NCAA bracket. With all these teams, there has got to be several of them that make it to the Sweet 16 and hopefully beyond. Maybe we get it all Final Four SEC. How great would that be? I'm just throwing it out there.
I would love it. I'd love it. I wish we could do one of them bracket things. We gotta get in on that, Mike. You know, maybe have a little bet, see who can have the best. Maybe we'll put something together tomorrow, you know? Get the fans in on, get the cousins in on it. See who's got the best bracket.
Yeah, no, let's do it, Shane. That's about all the basketball analysis we can give you, Shane, because we don't follow it too closely, even though we were at the dang tournament last weekend here. But I do want to mention this, Shane, because, again, I don't think a lot of people caught this, but Missouri had their black and gold spring game over the weekend, Saturday. Now, that's the good news, Shane. The bad news, no live tackling. And I didn't realize it was going to be this type of situation when the game played, and as soon as I saw them playing two-hand touch, I said, by God, we're not going to learn much from the black and gold spring game. But I'll give you my thoughts anyway, Shane. Brady Cook, he had a pretty nice 36-yard touchdown pass to Joshua Manning right before halftime. Mm-hmm. But again, they were playing two-hand touch, and he got forehand touched near the goal line. They let him in the end zone, and they counted it as a touchdown. I think just a pad Brady Cook's stats in that game. So that was kind of weird. Luther Burden, he only played 2 possessions, didn't record a statistic. I mean, this is two-hand touch. We got to get Luther Burden the ball. I wanted to see 20 touches by Luther Burden. We didn't get it. The Clemson transfer, Toriano Pride, He had a hell of an interception. He looks like a real get for the Florida Gators, from the Missouri Tigers.
Ooh.
I'm thinking the Florida Gators because they stole Florida defensive lineman Chris McClellan, 300-pounder on the defensive line. He looks like a real beast. I think he's going to be the next Florida transfer to Mizzou. That's going to make a big impact on that Tiger defense. And then we had a kick. We have a kicking competition, Shane, with Harrison Meavis off to the NFL between Blake Craig, looked a little bit more solid compared to Nick Quadrini, who missed a field goal via the doink, Shane. Anytime a kicker doinks one, I cross him off my list. I don't take him seriously anymore. So give me Blake Craig, because that's the one position we haven't talked about a ton with Missouri, with Meavis off to the NFL. This is a position to watch because Missouri's expecting big things this fall. They have to have a solid kicking game because, you know, in the SEC, there's going to be a game or two that's going to come down to a kick.
Well, they did last year, you know, several of them. So
right.
I think I'm with you here. I think the thing that stands out to me, though, was the lack of contact. And I'm kind of torn on this, Mike, because we see so many teams that have attempted this, especially even in fall, you know, maybe less physical contact, you know, trying to keep them healthy. But then there's a lot of those coaches that look back after a whole bunch of missed tackles week one and two and say, damn, I wish, you know, we would have cranked it up a little bit more. So are you, what's your thoughts on a non-tackle game? I get quarterback and maybe Luther and, you know, some of these key contributors, but you know, there's still some competitive depth that needs to be worked out with Mizzou because that's what bit them late last year was that, you know. So I'm just kind of, I don't know. I'll go back and forth on that.
Right, and it just was unique. I kind of like the way they do it, Shane, at Mizzou, because what they do is they hold a player draft the day before the spring game. Yeah. So players can kind of, not that they don't know who's good, but I would imagine who performs best in spring practice kind of influences the draft. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but why I do like that, but on one hand, I don't like it because then you have Brady Cook and the top three receivers are not on Brady Cook's team. So we don't get a true test. But I think given that it's such a unique situation, you let the guys tackle, you let them have some fun out there, but you give it given the fact that we don't have the full rosters working together, and what I mean is, you know, first team, second team, we don't have that, and then we're not allowed to tackle. It's almost like, what in the hell can we learn from a game like this? And I think they do it for a reason, clearly, Shane. They don't want to get anybody hurt. That's number one. But number two, I just think these coaches are so damn paranoid about opponents watching all this, trying to learn about the teams. So I don't know. I don't like it, but this is certainly the direction we're headed, where these spring games, it's just so hard to glean much of anything from it.
Doesn't it suck, though, like when you're at – like when your teammates are picking you, or let's say not picking you, because I've been there, basketball games, and they're going around, and you're like, why the hell did they pick Steve? Steve don't even play sports, you know? And then – but then you get it back, like field day, you know, they're like doing tug of war, and you're like, all right, you know you're the first one off the board now. You know? Call in the anchor.
Well, one thing I really wanted to see was their new additions at running back, the Georgia State kid and the other transfer that they got in. And it's like, well, hell, I mean, they're handing the ball off, and as soon as they get to the defensive line, they're calling it dead because it's two-hand touch. So it's very hard to get a read on any of that, you know?
Right. No, I get it. I totally get it. I'm not a fan of it. I think you should have contact. Obviously, quarterbacks don't get touched. Key contributors, you know, if somebody's slightly banged up, pull them, you know, that sort of thing. But everything else, man, you don't know who you have until you're going 100 miles an hour.
Right, and I think it's safe to say none of them were standing on business, right, Shane?
No, that's right, Mike.
But it's funny, Shane. I'm looking at the comments here, right? And I mean, they're split, obviously, with people that are Mizzou fans thinking, hell, this team's going to win 11 games this year. And then we got people that I would imagine hate Missouri, Shane. They're saying they're going to win 7 games if they're lucky. And again, I've thrown up the schedule here. Over-under is 9.5. But even if you hate Mizzou with all your heart, Shane. Where in the hell are the five losses? I mean,
yeah,
maybe A&M, if it, which I shouldn't say maybe because that's at Kyle Field. A&M's got a ton of talent. Let's say A&M is as good or better than advertised. I could right. that, let's give that one to A&M, just hypothetically.
Yeah. Worst case scenario.
Right. Auburn at home. I mean, I think even if Auburn's a lot better, I think that's still a toss-up. So, I don't know. I'm going hater scenario here. Let's give that to Auburn. At Alabama, let's give that to Alabama. Now we're up to three. Oklahoma, again, at home. We're losing a lot of home games here, Shane, if we're getting a five. South Carolina away, Mississippi State away, and Arkansas, who you've completely owned at home. You'd have to lose one of those as well. I don't see, unless, you know, and no one can know injuries and things of that nature, but barring some catastrophic injuries to key players, I am struggling. I'm basically giving every toss-up game to the opponent if Missouri's going 7-5. I just don't get that.
No, I don't either. And just the way that schedule ramps up, it's not like they come out against Michigan or, you know, playing in the SEC. The first SEC game they have is late September, and it's Vanderbilt. So, you know, they have the ability. So even though I just complained about the lack of contact, if there was a team that has the ability to kind of get it right, it's Mizzou. And by the time they really get into those games, those coin toss games, the ones that are going to dictate if they go to a college football playoff, you know, they got some time under their belt. So, I just – that's why I'm so high on Mizzou, not just the returning talent, but because the way the schedule plays out more than anything.
Right, and I did hear him say on the broadcast, Shane, that six of the 12 teams they're facing has a new head coach. So you factor that in too. I mean, a lot of newness here.
But yeah.
Let's play devil's advocate here. And again, not to be 7-5 because I think that's garbage talk. But if let's say Mizzou loses to Alabama –
yeah.
And Oklahoma. I'm just picking probably their two toughest games here. If they lose, if they go 10-2, I think in a normal year in the SEC, 10-2 guarantees you a playoff spot.
Yeah.
I don't know if it does for Missouri, given this schedule. Does that make sense?
Do you think the schedule will hurt them is what you're getting to?
Correct. If they beat Alabama and they go 10-2 in Tuscaloosa, I think they're fine. If they lose by 1 point to Auburn and 1 point to A&M, but and then they beat Oklahoma, beat Alabama, I think they can get in potentially. But yeah, I think this schedule at 10-2 doesn't guarantee you anything, depending on who the two losses are to.
Well, and the problem too is those like the last three games. It's a really good shot that none of those are in the top 25.
Right.
You know, and forget what. The way it used to be, it's what did we do in November? That's what they remember. So, if you're playing against teams that have, let's say, combined a losing record, not that they will, I think that there's still a good shot that some of those teams surprise us. But at the start of the season, they're not going to get a lot of hype. So, yeah, there is some pressure. And that's one thing. If we get to talk to Drink at Media Days, that's one thing I know people are going to come at him is, you know. This is different than last year. Last year, there was a lot of doubters. This year, there's a lot of supporters. And, you know, you can't take your foot off the gas because you'll get a what was it? Who did they play last year? Was it Memphis that gave them a fit, you know, or something like that? It's a team that really they should have beat by 30, 40 points, you know. So does Boston College do that? Does Texas A&M do that? You know, some of these teams that maybe they come in a favorite, do they have their foot off the gas saying, well, we can afford to lose one or two and still make it.
Yeah, Cousin Rick says Mizzou 10-2, they lose to A&M and lose to Bama, which, again, those are probably the more realistic ones. A&M's on the road. Bama's on the road. Got to win some road games if you're going to make the college football playoff. Because again, I don't know. I was just thinking about that, Shane. But 10-2.
Thank you, Cousin Rick. By the way,
appreciate you, Rick. But 10-2, I think 95% of the time that'll get you in.
Yeah,
But I don't know. I don't know about Mizzou's schedule. They may have to go 11-1.
$19, that don't even get valet downtown Nashville. Do you know that? It's crazy. The markup that town has, you know? But you pay it because you don't want to walk it. I thought about getting them. They got them little scooters. Me and Mike, we're walking over to Bridgestone, right? And it's just two or three blocks. I tried to get a hotel that was pretty close to it. And, you know, and I started looking at those scooters, and I was like, I ain't getting on one of them scooters. But then the closer we got, I was like, I wonder if that scooter can take me, you know? Maybe we should have filmed that, Mike, you know, me trying to ride one of them scooters downtown Nashville.
Yeah, Shade literally picked his hotel based on the shortest distance of walking from Bridgestone to the hotel.
My daughter, she goes, is there a pool in there? I was like, I don't know. We're two blocks away from Bridgestone. I can tell you that.
Well, buddy, hey, short episode here, but that's all I got. You got anything else before we hop off the line?
No, again, I appreciate everybody hanging out. I appreciate the support. If you're not got to see those videos, be sure to jump on there and like and subscribe, because we've got some awesome interviews coming. And I hate to tease it like that because I don't want to do that. But you got to remember, you know, this is – we understand. We love the SEC. We love all sports. And we're letting basketball kind of have their light right now, rightfully so. But after March Madness, and you know how it is, that last game – it's like everybody just turns right back to college football and say, all right, it's time. Well, that's when we're going to start putting these out because, again, it got me fired up, Mike. It got me pumped up about college football coming up this season. I think there's a making, brother, right now for this. And maybe I say it every year, but there's an opportunity that this is the most magical college football season ever. Not just the video game coming out, not just Texas and Oklahoma joining, but it's almost like you could throw a dart at the 16 teams, and whoever it lands on is going to be the team that wins the SEC championship. I've never felt like it was so close in my life between these teams. And that's what I love, because every Saturday, you just never know what's going to happen. We look at this list, you may clip it, and we circle back around and say, I cannot believe you didn't think Oklahoma was going undefeated with that quarterback, you know, or something. It's like, right now, we got that preseason notion, but this is going to shape up to be an awesome year. I truly believe it.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know about you, Shay, but being around that many SEC fans, yeah. Again, I know it was basketball and all that, but it made me feel like we were going to a football game, because there was just an army of SEC fans. Absolutely. All about cut, but it was different a little bit, just because there's so many different unique ones. But you know, made me yearn for media days.
That's what was so cool about downtown. It was like you'd pass a drove of Kentucky, you'd pass a drove of Woo Pig Sueys, you know, and State and Ole Miss. They were all there. And it's like these little chants would crank up, you know, and it was just, it was so cool. You have to experience it once, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we did, Shane. We conquered it. We had a great time. Now you're a national television star. It's only a matter of time before you get too big and you move on to a better show. So we appreciate you while we got you. Cousin Shane, star on national television. We appreciate you. We appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. If you're listening to a football podcast on March 17th, you're a true fan. And we really, really do appreciate each and every one of you.
I better not get any bigger. I won't fit in Feinbaum's chairs up there, so.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.